Could I welcome you all to our service tonight? I trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name. Do remember, please, the offerings as you leave, and we thank you for your special harvest collection of £7,055. We appreciate your generosity towards the Lord's work. Do remember, please, the Missionary Council offering, which is a separate basket today as you leave the services. Do remember also the Little Sunbeams Parent and Toddlers group resumes tomorrow, God willing, at 10:30 to 11:30. Please note it's just for 1 hour. If you're planning to bring your children or grandchildren or children you're caring for, please let Louise know beforehand. That would be helpful. Volunteers to help are greatly appreciated. We thank you for this, and all health restrictions apply. Tuesday at 8 p.m. is the Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall. Please remember that. We encourage you to attend, and I myself will be along to bring the Lord's word. Friday at 8 p.m. is a youth council rally. All young people are welcome. It's a localized youth thing that's taking place, and we commend that to young people and to parents to encourage the young people to come along on Friday evening at 8 p.m. I will be the speaker at that. And then we'll resume youth fellowship soon after this. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school at 10, our family worship 11:30, and the gospel service at 7. I'll be here at both services, the Lord willing, to bring the Lord's word. The season of prayer before the evening service. Do you remember the sicknesses in the congregation, the ongoing treatment for Mary McFadden? Remember Irene McBurney as she has this surgery planned for this incoming week, Friday. And do remember that, please, and pray that that will go ahead. And others who are laid aside as well, do pray for them at this time. You remember Awana planning to resume on Monday the 1st of November if possible. All leaders take note. Also, the news update from the Missionary Council, that is to hand as you leave the services tonight. We're going to join in the singing of the hymn, the opening hymn there on the screen, and we will sing together as we keep seated. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Number 592, keeping our seats as we sing. We'll stand then for prayer if you're able to stand for that. Thank you. stand together, please. Our eternal God and our gracious Father in heaven, we come into your presence tonight. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee that we can cast ourselves upon thee for this night and for this service, for the preaching of thy word. We do pray that, Lord, thou wilt attend it with power. We recognize our own nothingness before thee, our own frailty, the fact, Lord, that without thee we can do nothing. And so we pray, Father, that thou wouldst enable us and empower us tonight to preach the glorious message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for those tonight, O God, who are in special needs, Lord, those who have illness, Lord, in our congregation. We lift them collectively to thee tonight. We pray, our God, for each and every one of them, that thou wilt touch them and that thou wilt heal them, if it is your holy will, and restore them to wonted health and strength and to our services again. We commend others, perhaps, who have grown cold by the way, even in their attendance at the means of grace. Thou wouldst give them an interest again to come to thy house and to be found amongst us here in the Lord's house. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt stir hearts, that thou wilt quicken thy people, and revive thy church in these days, we pray of thee. Oh, for the breath of the Spirit. Oh, for the might of the sword, leading us on to inherit all that in Jesus is stored. Lord, send us revival. Let it begin now in thee, gladly dethroning each rival. Yield we our hearts unto thee. Lord, we're conscious that we need the breath of God upon the church of Christ in these days. And Father, we pray that this will happen not only here, but right across our land, O God. We pray that in every place where the gospel is truly preached, that men and women tonight will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him and know his salvation. We come to thee tonight, Lord, to remember our land and all its need. We cry to thee, O God, for a visitation upon the land. The darkness is great, 100 years on, O God. And yet, Lord, there's such a heritage of the gospel in this land. O God, we pray for a return to that gospel heritage. We pray for many who name the name of Protestant in this land, and yet they have no thought of thee, no thought of thy day, no thought of thy house, and no thought, O God, of thy word. Lord, we pray that thou wilt have mercy upon people who call themselves Protestant. Pray for the darkened Roman Catholics. We pray, O God, for many people maybe of no religion. We pray, O God, that thou wilt open their eyes to the truth of the gospel, and that thou wilt bring them to Christ, that thou wilt save a people in this land, O God, for thy name, that thou wilt break in amongst us, O God. And we pray that this land will reverberate once again as it once did with the preaching of the gospel and the salvation of precious, never-dying souls. Father, hear us tonight. We ask of thee, pour out your Spirit upon the work of God, upon our sister congregations, upon the needs of so many in our own church at this time. Meet every need we ask of thee. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're reading together from the Word of God tonight. We find it in the book of Revelation chapter 22. The book of Revelation chapter 22. We're reading together from this portion of God's Word tonight. Revelation chapter 22 and the verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets,
And to them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. But without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. That him that heareth say, come. That him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his precious, infallible, and inerrant word. We'll turn to the hymn on the screen. Someday the silver cord will break, and we will keep our seats as we sing this hymn. And I no more as now shall sing, and oh the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. 596, keeping our seats, and then we will stand for prayer, if you're able to stand before the preaching. Thank you. Let us stand, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to Thee for the closing moments of this service. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to turn your attention tonight to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Again, to the subject of heaven. And tonight we're thinking about the theme, the preparation for heaven. The preparation for heaven. Often it is repeated that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus said in John 14 and 2, I go to prepare a place for you. And the bottom line is that we need to make preparation if we're ever to enter into heaven. And that term, bottom line, is an accountancy term taken from the world of finance. The bottom line is called so because that where it appears on the financial statement is on the bottom line. The bottom line tells you where you stand financially. Whether you have profit or whether you have loss. Whether you're in the black or whether you're in the red. Whether you've made money or lost money. Never mind all the minutiae. Bottom line, where do you stand? And that's precisely where we are in our study of heaven tonight. In this 22nd chapter of Revelation, we now come to the bottom line. The issue before us in this service tonight is, am I ready for heaven? Am I prepared to go to heaven? Am I going to heaven? Where do I stand spiritually? And there are five key elements that I want to look at in the closing part of Revelation to prepare us to live with God forever. And here we discover what we must have if we are to be prepared for heaven. It's very simple, but it's very straight. And it's very, very important. First of all, in verses 6 and 7, we must have the expectancy. He said unto me, that's to John, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of his holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You see, being ready for heaven requires an expectant attitude that eagerly looks for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. It involves having an anticipation of being taken to heaven at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The return of Christ, as verse 6 indicates, must shortly be done. In other words, His coming is near. And the Bible teaches us in the book of James that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. His appearing is the next event in God's prophetic calendar. This blessed hope has been the urgent expectation of the Church of Christ for over 2,000 years. Verse 7 says, Behold, I come quickly. These are the words of Christ in the present sense, in the present tense. Essentially, He's saying, I'm coming in this present age. And if we believe Christ's return is imminent, it will decisively mark the way that you and I live our lives. How so, you may say? Well, look at verse 7. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It will mean that we will be living in obedience to the Word of God. And the person who heeds and obeys the Word of God is the one who is ready for heaven. Not the one who sheds crocodile tears over the truth of Revelation, nor the one who shouts the loudest about the second coming of Christ. But rather the one who obeys God's Word. That's the one. That's the person. And is ready for Christ's return. The book of Revelation was not written to feed our fascination about the future, but rather to cause us to heed the commands of God's Word. The book of Revelation is not given for drafting intricate eschatological charts or for the pointing out of our lives in certain directions, but rather to bring us to godliness, to holy living, to living for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John, just back a few pages in your New Testament, 1 John chapter 2, or chapter 3 rather, verses 2 and 3, we read these words. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And listen to this, verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You see, readiness for Christ's return produces personal holiness, godliness. Are you living for the return of Christ? Are you living for now? You're living for tomorrow to get to work or for something that's material in this world. I know we have to look after these things. But how is it, Christian, with your godliness? How is it, Christian, with your living for Christ? A class in a school received word that the principal was coming to inspect their classroom during the incoming week. And the exact time of the visit was unknown. One little girl said to her classmate, aren't you going to clean up your desk? You know the principal is coming. Her friend replied, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. But what if he comes today? The other little girl said, well, I'll pick it up in the afternoon. But what if he comes this morning? The other little girl insisted. Her friend replied, I'll tidy it up before break time. But what if he comes before break time? The little girl thought for a moment and said, I think I'd better clean up my desk now and keep it clean. And that's the way we need to be in regard to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and in regard to heaven. We need to clean up our lives now and keep them clean. What areas of your life do need to be cleaned up? Where is your obedience lacking? What have you to put off to get ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so the first thing is expectancy. Expecting His coming. And the Bible says, according to Scripture, it's even at the door. Now we don't know, as the little girl there, what time. We don't know exactly when. But we have to be always in the state of preparedness for the return of Christ. And then secondly, the second key is that of exaltation. Exaltation. Look at verses 8 and 9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. You see, after John heard this message from the angel, he responded with worship. But his worship was misdirected. It was the right activity, but it was the wrong direction. He, John, is so overwhelmed that he trembles and he collapses at the feet of the angel who brings him this message. He collapses at the feet of the messenger of God. He's so overwhelmed by the awesomeness of the glory of Jesus Christ in heaven that he falls down to worship the angel. Perhaps it was the fact that Christ had just spoken that threw him off. Or maybe it was the dazzling appearance of the angel that caused him to be disoriented. But the angel in verse 9 redirects John's worship toward God. He said, worship God. Two words. Worship God. The activity was entirely appropriate. Just redirect it toward God. And the word for worship here means to kiss toward, to show affection toward, to bow down before a superior, to give him respect and reverence and awe, to give him the adoration that is due to him. To worship God means to ascribe the greatness due to his name from a heart of love that is humbled and bowed down before his throne. In other words, exalt him. Exalt the Lord. Worship the Lord. Now there's a lot of worship today that is put out there as being worship. But it's not biblical worship. Not biblical worship at all. It's not based on the Word of God. But the worship that the Lord directs us to is a worship that is in spirit and in truth. Now, what does he mean here? Well, go back to Psalm 2, verses 11 and 12. The book of Psalms, the Psalm 2, and verses 11 and 12, and see the meaning. Psalm 2, 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. This is true worship. Kiss the Son. Come before him with true affection. Come before him with true adoration. That's the meaning. And that must be our response to. The bottom line is this, dear friends. Has the study of heaven caused us to love Christ more? To want to be closer to him? To want to be more in communion with Christ? Has it caused us to exalt him more, to adore him more? You know, there's no other book in all of the Bible that ought to cause our hearts to worship Christ more than the book of the Revelation. In fact, that's what the title Revelation means. This book, you see, is the unveiling of Christ, the showing forth of Christ. We see Christ in this book. Of course, we see Christ in all the Scripture. But here we have the unveiling of Christ in the book of Revelation. And therefore, no other book so breeds the worship of Christ in our hearts as does this book of Revelation. The worship of heaven must inspire worship in our hearts now. Exaltation. of the name and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there that worship in your heart tonight toward the Lord? I want you to see in the third place here the emphasis. You see, it's an emphasis upon a believing heart. The study of heaven should make us want to go there. And there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And John turns here from addressing believers in verses 6 to 9 to addressing unbelievers, issuing one last call to them to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have that emphasis here in verses 10 to 17 of Revelation 22. You can look at the verses. The realities of heaven and eternity call each one of us to exercise personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This decision to believe upon Christ must be done now, because the Bible teaches us here in verse 10 that time is at hand. The time is at hand. You see, the signs of the times tell us that the coming of the Lord is near. You read the 24th chapter of Matthew and you'll see that. Other portions in the Word of God. And the study of Revelation is a fork in the road that forces us to decide which of the two paths you will take. Heaven or hell, which will it be tonight? You must decide. As you listen to this sermon tonight, we must choose now where we will spend eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming quickly. And when He does appear, people will have no time in that hour to repent and to be saved. Go to the 25th chapter of Matthew and see the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. And when the bridegroom came at midnight and the cry went out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And the unwise, the foolish, were unready. And while they went to seek to prepare themselves, the Bible tells us the door was shut. And I fear lest men and women hearing this message tonight, and the door will be shut for you. The door into the presence of God, the door into heaven will be closed against you. And you will be shut up to the wrath and judgment of God in an eternal hell forevermore. This is the time. This is the hour. This is the moment to repent and be saved. Do not put off for one more moment a decision for Christ. Heaven can be yours tonight, but you must receive Christ today if you're to be saved. When Christ returns, all people will be forever fixed in the spiritual state in which God finds them. The one who is unrighteous at the return of Christ will continue to be unrighteous throughout all eternity. Look at verse 11, Revelation 22. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. The one who is holy or righteous at Christ's return will be holy and righteous for all eternity. The Bible tells us in verse 12, "My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And we have here the positive and the negative. Christ is coming to settle his accounts. For the one who has done wrong and is filthy, it will be paid back judgment. And that judgment will be damnation and will be hellfire. But for the one who is righteous and holy, that person will be paid back. And their payback will be blessing and happiness forever. Verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And those who have been washed in the blood of Christ will enter into heaven. Conversely, those who have rejected the gospel will be forever cast into hell. The Bible says, verse 15, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." He used the term dogs here. It's a term of contempt for all who are morally vile and unclean. You see, Oriental dogs were scavengers that were looked upon with great disdain. These are those unbelievers who are unpure and impure and defiled by long contact with the filth of this world. And joining these unbelievers are the sorcerers mentioned here, those who are false worshippers of various kinds. Immoral persons are mentioned here, whoremongers, those who have given their lives over to impurity. And then he mentions murderers, those who place no value on human life. And this world tonight is full of murderers. Even those who murder the unborn. And laws are being put in place in our very nation and seeking to be put in place in our very land today, that 100 years ago our forefathers would have cringed at, but never have been allowed. And yet today, there are murderers. Those who murder the unborn. How could you even think about it? And yet that's what people are doing and wanting to do and promoting. And even representatives are promoting it today because they think they can buy a few more votes by promoting abortion, the killing of the unborn. Murderers, idolaters, those who live for anything or anyone other than God, liars, those who believe the devil's lie, those who are linked with false religion. And all of these people, the Bible says, will be excluded from heaven, will be consigned to the lake of fire. We can believe these sobering realities because it is Jesus Christ Himself who testifies to us about these things. Because the Bible tells us here that He is the one who is the faithful and true, the one who cannot lie. He's the root and offspring of David, meaning both the ancestor and descendant of David, the bright and morning star, verse 16, the one who burst upon the scene of human history at its darkest hour. He is the one who testifies of these truths. And in response to this urgent appeal to believe, while there is time, the Holy Spirit and the church call with one voice, "Come." Look at verse 17. "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." And here is the heartfelt prayer of every Spirit-filled Christian saying, "Come. Lord Jesus, take us to heaven. Come now and take us home to glory." Surely that's the desire of every blood-bought believer. Isn't the longing of your heart tonight? Doesn't the Holy Spirit stir within your soul to cry out to Christ to return now, come now? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Blessed Lord Jesus, come. There's a longing expectancy in Christ's heart as well for unconverted people to come to Himself and to be saved. And so Christ calls out to a lost and a dying world to come and to drink of His grace, whosoever will. Verse 17, "Let him come and take the water of life freely." Men, young people, women tonight, boys and girls, come and drink of the water of life freely. Remember that woman at the well? Jesus said to her there in John 4. He said, the water that I shall give to you shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Come and drink. The story is told of a little emaciated boy from a large impoverished family. He was taken to a hospital because of starvation and malnutrition. And there in the hospital there was a kind nurse, and she came to the starving lad with a large glass of cold milk in her hand. And she gave it to the little fellow and said, drink. And with eager hands he took the glass and asked, nurse, how deep can I drink? How deep can I drink? And what a picture of poverty that was. Every glass of milk the little boy had was divided with his brothers and sisters. Each sibling could drink just so much. Just so far down the glass, there was never enough to go round. It was a bit like us in the farm there in the country, and there was seven of us around the table and a pound of butter in the middle of the table. You had to get your knife in quick. Otherwise, you hadn't much a chance of getting a bit of butter in your potatoes or a bit of butter in your bread. It was much worse for this young fellow. And the nurse replied, dear child, drink to the bottom. Drink to the full. And that's what Christ says to you tonight. Come to the waters of life. Oh, my dear man, woman, young person tonight, whoever you are, come and drink to the full. No matter how famished your heart, how starved your soul may be, this water will satisfy you forever. It will satisfy you forever. Will you come tonight? Will you come now to the Lord Jesus Christ? But there's a fourth thing here quickly, and it's the entreaty, verses 18 to 19 of Revelation 22. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You see the plea here to those who reject the message. You see, we must be careful never to tamper with the message of God's word. And there are many people today who want to tamper with the message. You say, oh, I want to change it. It's not suitable for today's society, and so I want to change it. I want to tamper with it. We're never to do that, according to these scriptures. And what John has recorded in the book of Revelation is God's word to us, not man's. Understand tonight, this is not Alan Smiley's word. This is God's word. Always understand, what I preach from this pulpit is God's word. If I preach anything else, get me out of here, friend. Get me out of here. In these 17 years that I've been here, and what time I have left, I intend to preach the word of God. I trust whoever comes to this pulpit to me, my replacement will be a man too who will preach the word of God. And John presses upon us both the truthfulness and the seriousness of what has been revealed to him. If anyone tries to change God's word about heaven, God will add to them the plagues that are written in this book. That's what he's saying here. A serious matter to distort or to dilute or to deny the truth about the second coming of Christ or about heaven or the truth of the gospel as a whole. This is, my friend, God's unchangeable message. We must believe all the truths that are contained therein with all of our hearts. To try to attempt or to explain it away will bring great harm upon our souls. And God is serious about what he's saying here. And so we must be. This is God's serious word to you tonight and to me. And then I want you to think about the encouragement in the final verses of the chapter and of the book and of the Bible. Verses 20 to 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And what an encouragement it is to us that we are ready for heaven. That we have absolute certainty that Christ is returning soon and eternity is ready to break upon us. And for the third time in these closing verses of Revelation, John testifies, behold, I come quickly. Verse 7, verse 12, and here again in verse 20. The word quickly means immediately or rapidly or swiftly. In other words, Jesus Christ is coming very soon. James chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. The judge standeth before the door. The Lord is coming. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 36. Let your loins be girded about, your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto man that waiteth for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. There's a preparedness there. Ready. The scene is in the middle of the night. While others are asleep, you must be awake, you must be alert, you must be in a state of readiness. The Bible says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so much so that throughout the night your hand's on the door, you're ready to open it in a split second. Christ knocks at his return, and when he knocks, you're ready to open. We should always live every moment of every day as if Christ were coming now. That's how to be ready for heaven, friend. Are you ready tonight? Do you need a witness to somebody? Do you need to be reconciled to a brother or sister? Do it now. Do you need to be faithful in your financial stewardship? Do it now. John testifies that he's ready. Verse 20. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Come and take me to heaven. Come and take me out of this world. Come and bring me into your glorious presence. And this book, Revelation, this final book, the word of God, it ends with the closing benediction, verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's the declaration that God's grace will be poured out upon His children who wait eagerly for the return of Christ. And to the very end, God's grace is offered to all who will believe. And God's grace is offered to you tonight. Dear man, woman, young person, listening to this message. The last word of the book of Revelation is the last word of all the Bible, God's word. It's the word Amen. Amen. Here's the affirmation. So be it. That's what it means. So be it. And John is certifying that he believes all that has been revealed to him in this vision. It will come to pass. I believe there's a place called heaven. And I believe that Jesus is the only Savior and Jesus is the only way to heaven. Not by the church. It's not by doing good works. It's not by all of this that man would seek to do to merit the favor of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you prepared for heaven tonight? If not, will you prepare now? before you get up from that seat, before you, wherever you are tonight listening, close your eyes and sleep. Close with Christ. Are you ready to go home tonight? If you're not, then get ready now. For behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. May God help you to come. Be saved tonight. The preparation for heaven. God write His word upon all our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt speak on to hearts and that Thou wilt bring some soul or souls through for the Savior this night. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to the hymn, Face to Face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? And with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. It's a very, very important question. Face to face, what will it be? What will it be for you on that day? I urge you to come to the Lord tonight. Let's sing the words of the hymn as we remain seated.
you're troubled about your soul, about your sin, about your need of Christ, do speak with us as you leave or hear your servant for Jesus' sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today, tonight, tomorrow, and with all who are saved forevermore. Amen.